What is up, best friends? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for April 24th, and I'm here with Gary Whitta.
We're back.
For Whitta Wednesday.
All right.
It's a Whitta Wednesday.
If you watched the last time we were on together, this is our second time, I think.
So we haven't hosted together like forever, and yep. Now suddenly two very,
together.
Very quickly, yeah.
I feel like we're getting a rapport now, so I'm liking
absolutely.
It.
What do we're never going to come up with anything as good as Frandria, but like, I don't know.
We do need a celeb name.
Fritter? I don't know what you want to call it.
Fritter's pretty good,
Fritter.
Actually.
I don't know what you want to call it.
We did not prep that. I'm liking it. Let us know in the comments if you have a better celebrity.
Frandria takes some beating.
Yeah, Frandria is pretty solid, because you get the half and half
it's
of
perfect.
Each
It's
name.
Perfect.
Real quick, a little bit of the usual housekeeping up front. Of course, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, which you can catch at 10 a.m. Pacific Time live right here on Twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games. If you don't watch it live, you can catch it over at YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games. Same URL almost for both of them.
Don't forget all those podcast services as well.
Yes, and of course, podcast services around the globe. This is what I get for not reading the script, because I mostly know it at this point.
But you totally captured Greggy there. That was great.
Yeah, I don't have the papers. He prints stuff out, so
he's better prepared.
Yeah, he really is better prepared.
He really is.
I love the dry humor. He thought he was going to get
when I usually come in when Greg's hosting. When I show up in the office, he's like hunched over the computer, like frantically putting the show notes together. This morning, you rolled up in an Uber, like right as I showed up, like find his little show, going, "How's it going?
Are
like,
you going to we'll say limo?
Let's do the show." Right here. Yeah.
Yeah, but we could have done it on the street. That's how prepared I am.
I kind of like street KFGD is the way to
yeah.
do it. Street style.
Barrett, can we get a camera on the street tomorrow? No. Friday.
No.
Barrett's no fun. Barrett, I might ask you about Persona later. If you're a Persona guy, right?
Hell yeah, I am.
We got some Persona news today.
I was just chatting to Barrett about Persona before the show.
All right. We want to get into the news. There's actually some good news today, but let me finish up on my bumbled housekeeping notes. If you are watching live, you know that you have a very special job. Head to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. There's no apostrophe in there, of course. And let us know if we're wrong on anything in the show. Major corrections only, please. We do have to read those live, so I'd appreciate it only if it needs to be noted. In addition to that, remember, if you are a bronze member or above, you can head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and you can get your questions on the show. Right, Gary?
That's right.
That's right.
What is that? Like the bronze is like a dollar. It's nothing. What is that?
It's nothing. It's like, you know, it's less than a cup of coffee.
It's like a diner. It's a cup of coffee at a diner. It's not even a Starbucks.
It's nothing.
There is a $1 tier for exclusive shows, but the bronze tier is $5.
Oh, the bronze tier is $5, but there's also a $1 tier. Okay.
$5.
$5 is still nothing to Gary.
$5, again, it's a cup of coffee. What is it these days?
In San Francisco,
fucked up economy. Yeah.
It's really sad that if it is a cup of coffee. I mean, it is. Like, in a lot of places, it's close to
it's the thick end of five. These days, you don't get much change out of $5 for a cup of coffee most places.
I'll tell you the thing that makes me sad about inflation today is burritos. I remember in San Francisco coming here and getting like the regular burrito. You know, I don't want any of the guacamole or any of that. Not that I'm against, I just don't like a messy burrito, right?
Okay.
So I get the regular.
All right.
That was like $4.50, $5.50 range for quite some time. And I think I just grabbed one the other day. I was reflecting. I was like, it was like $12.50.
Like a regular like, taqueria kind of place?
Yeah, just a burrito at taqueria.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, that's why they still have Taco Bell. If you want that 99-cent burrito, they'll hit the spot.
You're going to pay for it in other ways.
You definitely will. You'll pay for it at the other end.
I love Taco Bell, but I like to eat it after 2 a.m. only. It's kind of my general rule. So, again, hopefully I didn't miss any of that major housekeeping. But also, May the 4th is coming up. Quick Vancouver. So be sure to head over to kindoffunny.com/events. And get all the details for the upcoming meet and greet again in Vancouver on May the 4th, kindoffunny.com/events. Thank you so much to our Patreon producers as well for helping make today's show possible. All of the shows, actually, it is plural. Tom Bach, Blackjack, James Davis, and Muhammad. And today also helping make the show possible, we're brought to you by Quip, Experian, and Brooklinen. But I will tell you about that one later. On today's show, we're going to talk about Switch is perhaps getting a new version sooner than later. It seems like every time I'm on the show, there's a new rumor. Persona 5 Royale details. Barrett, I'm going to need you back soon for that. Fortnite and Iron Man, we know Avengers mode is coming tomorrow. There's a little bit of a teaser out there. Maybe you can fly around like Tony Stark. And a lot more. So, for now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A baker's dozen!
What's the top story?
Top story I chose is, of course, Nintendo Switch. Who doesn't like talking about
when Switch is in the
hardware?
News, it's usually the top story because we all love the Switch.
I will tell you, yeah, you've been in the industry forever. You know that hardware news doesn't matter even if it's true or not. Maybe we made it up. No, I have some sources on this one that, well, I read other reports. But they always trend, right? I mean, it's
people
it's
always want to know about the new hardware.
Want to know about the future. It's like those new Teslas. People can't get enough of the details on
absolutely
them, right? Okay, so let's start with our first story. There's a cheaper Switch possibly headed out as soon as June 2019. Now, there's been a lot of rumors, a lot of change-ups in this story, so this is really just the latest in a long line of reports that there's maybe a couple Nintendo Switch versions out there. There was rumored there's a smaller one coming. It'll be cheaper. Also, there's a next-gen version, or it's a more enhanced version, and that's coming later. And then another story that maybe it's not coming. Well, there's new details coming in. This is summed up by Matt Perslow over at IGN. Thank you for that. This update is from today. A new report indicates that Nintendo will launch a new, cheaper version of Nintendo Switch by the end of June with a, quote, modest upgrade to the existing model, allegedly coming later this year. A modest upgrade. So that's the second version. I guess it's not enhanced anymore.
Two different SKUs that we're talking about here. A cheaper one and an upgraded one.
Yeah, but this is what we'll talk about. The upgraded one seems to be the biggest one in question, and now it's coming from being Nintendo Switch Enhanced Pro version to maybe Nintendo Switch Modest version. So in a financial report by Bloomberg, a small excerpt suggests the cheaper Switch model is coming very soon. An outright, quote, more powerful version is allegedly not in the works, though boosts or simply a, oops, sorry, I skipped a line, though details on that claim are more sparse. So whether that alludes to a true PS4 Pro or Xbox One X-like hardware boost or simply a series of hardware redesigns akin to the DS Lite remains to be seen. The report is based on claims from two unnamed sources. The claims partially line up with earlier reports from before. We knew the Wall Street Journal suggested Nintendo was planning on launching two new versions of Nintendo Switch this year. Again, we've heard this a lot. The cheaper model described in the Bloomberg report appears to be an attempt to boost sales growth. Again, why are they doing this, which we'll talk about, and could very well remove things like vibration to cut costs. And the description of this modest upgrade sounds less like an all new model and more of some change up. So, okay, let's start with the first thing. Do you believe there's a new Switch coming that's maybe cuts out vibration, changes things up to get the cost down?
I'm open to it. I guess one of my questions is
not whether you want it. Do you think it's going to happen? You've been around.
No, I'm open to the possibility that it's a real thing. I'm open minded, but I neither disbelieve it nor passionately think it's real. I'm thinking like, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm kind of in the middle here. I guess my biggest question is why now? The Nintendo Switch is still relatively young in its life cycle, right? It's not like an aging system.
It's over 2 years.
I know, but we live in an age now where systems last way longer than that. Like, if anything, console generations, especially as they get boosted by the Pro and the One X type upgrades, the generations, this generation's been around a long time.
That's true.
So I would say 2 years in is not a time to start thinking about hardware revisions on new versions. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like Switch sales are flagging or anything. It seems like they're still doing great. So I'm not quite sure why now, at this relatively early point in the life cycle, they need to do this, other than to say maybe it's just a very aggressive move. Maybe they're saying the Switch is doing great, let's double down, let's make it available to even more people at a lower price point. So I don't know. I read a little this morning about some of the features of the existing Switch that they may be able to cut back on to get the price down. I mean, there are a lot of ways to do that. You think about the detachable controllers. There's a one rumor that I read this morning, I think it might have been in that same article, is that this new version may not be dockable, it may just be a pure handheld. So there's a number of ways that
they say that when
it's one of the things that got tossed up in the rumor mill. I'll throw the question back to you. If there's a cheaper, let's assume that we know there's a cheaper version of the Switch coming. For the sake of argument, let's just say that's a given. What does that look like? What do they scale back on to make a cheaper version of the Switch?
Sure. Okay, a couple comments. Nintendo is, in my history, is good to judge by historically, you know, what do they do? The interesting part about Nintendo Switch is seemingly, it, right, is to solve for the fact that 3DS was great in its own right. Wii U was failing as a console. So how do they bring those worlds together? Well, they came up with Switch, right? And now like the 3DS is basically at the very, very end. There's no announced plans, right, for a successor to that. So how do you solve for that? Well, they've already got the Switch. So why not make a cheaper version? And I'll note, you know, a little bit about that history, but also why not?
So you think a cheaper version of the Switch could essentially be a true replacement for the 3DS?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that maybe there is, right? There's no 4DS. There's no,
right.
You're not going to jump in different time and space continuums with that next version.
It's interesting when you talk about what Nintendo's done historically, you have to kind of look at both the regular consoles and the handhelds.
That's right.
Historically, they have not
with consoles
done add-ons or upgrades. They just move on to the next one, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have this. The NES was the NES, the SNES was the SNES.
Yeah,
the N64 was the N64. There wasn't like an N64 Plus or an add-on or something.
Pack-ins or the expansion pack.
But on the handheld side, all they ever did was iterate,
right?
How many different Game Boys were there?
Yeah.
How many different 3DSs have there been?
That's right.
And the Switch is both a desktop and a handheld console. So I'm open to believe that whatever Nintendo's philosophy is, that's why I'm open to believing that there might be some truth to these rumors.
That's right. So let's look at a couple things. I was trying to remember the exact. So 3DS was announced in 2010, I think in June, I think it was there for that. And then in February of 2011, it came out. And then it was about a year and a half, I think, that they released the about the same, let's call it. They actually released the XL first.
Yeah, the XL, I remember that.
That came out.
And then I think came the new 3DS.
That's in there too. There's a bunch of those versions, but where I'm going with this is the 2DS.
The 2DS
the 2DS.
So you think that what we might be seeing is a Switch version of the 2DS?
Yes, in its own way. And the thing that I was trying to remember is they targeted. Okay, when we saw 2DS, first of all, everybody's like, wow. We all went through the N-gauge taco phase. I don't think we need another one of those. And 2DS was like this pie
wedge,
cake wedge. It was really hideous, in my opinion. You know, it was like a ramp. You could maybe use it for your Hot Wheels. Additionally, I just saw Ant-Man yesterday, so I'm thinking about that stuff.
Thinking about Hot Wheels.
Yeah, I mean, why else would I think of Hot Wheels? So you get the point. That was about $150, I think. So they brought it down from it was around $299, $250. Significant cost cutting to try to make it simpler, cut out the 3D stuff. So
yeah, and the way that they made it, the way they made it cheaper was by cutting back on a lot of features that people kind of felt were extraneous about them. I mean, as much as people loved it, the irony of the 3DS, as much as people loved it, the 3D was, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I don't think I kept that slider down pretty much all the time. The 3D, once the gimmick of it went away, I very rarely played games with the 3D on. I just turned it off. And I think they realized that that's a feature that is expensive for us and no one's really going to mourn it if it goes away. So let's get rid of it and make a cheaper version.
Right.
The actual industrial design, the hinged, the clamshell thing, like getting rid of all that makes the production cheaper as well. Like was the 2DS a hit? I don't know. Was it like a sales success? I don't know. Maybe you're wrong and tell us.
Yeah, let us know. Nintendo has a webpage, I believe, for its hardware sales. It certainly does. If you search Nintendo Japan, they have like for investor reports, like top selling console. You could check there maybe. Let us know. I don't recall it being like a massive hit, but regardless, that you know, I don't think we can necessarily judge. We've seen versions of DS Lite and everything in between. So,
well, I come back to the question of again posing it to you: what does a slimmed down version of the Switch look like? What can they dispose of?
Yeah. So, for starters, I believe the report about getting rid of vibration. I think it's a cool feature, but building it into those very small controllers instead, I assume, is a little costly, a little delicate.
Well, those controllers are $80 for a set. I mean, they alone are not cheap.
Yes.
And it is very fancy rumble that they have, you know, the rumble.
Exactly, the HD rumble. And so, like, I think stripping that out alone could be a big deal. The screen, frankly, in my opinion, is not that great in the first place, but maybe they can bring screens have changed anyway, so maybe there's a newer, cheaper screen tech, change that up a little bit, hopefully keep battery life still in
check. Yeah, I mean, you make a good point. I mean, some of the things that they make economies on may not be things that you even notice. It might just be that 2 years later, the screen's that much cheaper now.
Yeah. So I got another question, and this one definitely could use some help on. Is there any chance, because much like the 2DS removed 3D, which you're like, wow, that's a major feature of games, do you think we could see a version that removes the taking the controllers off? Because that could probably significantly change it. Like, is it required for anything? I was trying to remember. Well, it's not,
you,
right?
I mean, I don't think it can be, because every game has to be able to support the handheld configuration, right? So
there you go. You could possibly get rid of the accelerometer stuff, you know, steering, no multiplayer. It's just your on-the-go Nintendo Switch Lite is maybe what it's going to be.
I think maybe a cheaper screen. I don't think it'll get any smaller. I think it would be the same. I don't think there's a lot of latitude to make the screen any smaller than it is. But my guess would be taking away the detachable controllers, taking away the rumble, a couple of things that like we're not that fussed about. What do you think about the docking? If that dock sells for $100 by itself, and I know that's obviously vastly inflated, but if they were to take the dock away and say, look, here's just the. Not that it won't be dockable, just that they'll just sell you one without the dock, and if you want to dock it, you would buy that at a later date.
Well, first of all, it doesn't, that's right, it does come with one dock.
It comes with a dock.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, which is the question? Do I think it will come with a dock? No.
Right.
Do I think it's compatible?
Yes.
Is a great question.
Well, because that to me is the magic of taking your...
It's called Switch. What are you going to switch to?
It's time to switch.
Yeah.
The magic of taking your Switch, and putting it in a dock and having that image immediately throw it. The first time I did that is, even though it's not a technological marvel, I just go, that's magic.
But it works. It's that it doesn't feel cheap.
And I don't think there's a lot of money to be saved in taking out whatever connectors are necessary to do the docking. It's the actual dock itself. So I think they could save a ton of money and make it much cheaper just by getting the dock out.
Oh yeah.
And letting you purchase the dock at a later date if you decide you do want to dock it. But they're not going to make it undockable. That would be crazy.
Yeah, it's funny. You hit on something really important I hadn't thought about, which is it actually sells with the dock, which we know is there's no way it costs $70 or $75.
It sells for $100, the dock.
Is it $100 now?
Yeah, because
we bought
a second dock to put in our bedroom so we could play Switch in the bedroom. It's a $100 item.
Just gotta look up now, because otherwise on You're Wrong. No, I'm seeing on Games... Oh, no, used was... No, I'm seeing around $60 or $70.
I think the retail is $100, and the Nintendo retail is like $99.99.
That's great. Okay, regardless,
it's $85 on Amazon.
Okay, so there you go.
What the heck is going on with this? It used to be right around the $70.
But the question is, the markup on that, I'm sure, is huge. Look, the question is, what do they actually save by not having to put it in the box?
Right. So I don't think it's nearly that much, but they absolutely save. And I hadn't thought about that. I think it's a good point. No, absolutely, they're not going to sell you a cheaper version and give you this dock. That's going to be 100% optional.
The dockability of it is absolutely key to its appeal. So they're not going to take that away. They're just going to make it optional, and you can upgrade to a dock at a later time. And maybe there's a cheaper version of the dock that is coming. There are third-party docks you can buy as well that are cheap.
Right. And I mean, I think that is the important question, though. I don't know. The more I think about the bold moves they've made, is there a chance that they would... that they would literally take that dock out. Could they do it over USB-C? So if it's got a USB-C connection, could they? I once joked, but could they somehow solve it by not having that adapter on the bottom? So I don't know if that's really expensive. I agree with you. I don't think it's the right move. The appeal of Nintendo Switch is play it on both. So I think there's a lower chance. I'm just speculating. The same with anything I said about Switch Lite. I mean, I'm just for the sake of conversation. What I actually think, I don't know.
let's assume that they make some of these moves. Let's assume that we're right. And it's a big if, but let's assume that we're right about all this stuff. They take away the detachable controllers, they take away the dock, they take away HD rumble and some of the other things that we can live without. The whole point of this, the whole reason to do this is to have a more aggressive price.
It costs $299 today, right?
It's a couple. So what do you think their target would be for a cheaper version to make that really compelling?
I mean,
$250 or $200?
No, $200. I think the $199 price mark is a sweet spot.
Ship so many copies, so many units at $199.
It gets it out there to be super competitive. We were just talking about this for the all digital Xbox, right? And everyone sort of had that feeling like, oh, it's still over $200. It's just like, it's when something costs $499, not $501, and your brain says, right, we're at that $200.
And that's the whole reason why the $99.99 things exist,
is the
bullshit.
There's not,
that one penny makes you think it's much cheaper
mentally,
than it really is.
It's not $100.
It's not $500, it's $499.99. Yeah. But I've always had this theory that people only really respond to price moves when the first digit
goes down. So like $299 to $249 doesn't feel like a huge deal, but $249 to $199 feels like a bigger deal.
You're right, exactly, because it goes from two to one. It's half the price.
It's oh my god, that's so much cheaper. Again, the way that fucked up way our brains work, that's
half the price.
And right now, so now with the Xbox One SAD, and I swear they should have come up with something better than
I told you. There's an
Xbox One SAD.
Have you heard at the end? See, they also say the Xbox One S All Digital Edition. There's an E at the end.
Oh, so
say,
it's Sade.
Have you heard me say this?
No!
You're kidding me. Thank you. And in the comments, people keep saying that they don't think Sade is pronounced that way. I say, yes,
of course
it is.
No one listens to a Sade song?
You gotta grow up in the 90s.
It's so right now, my point is being that with the Xbox One Sade, and that is now what I'm calling
Gary.
It.
I love this.
They now occupy the low end of the market at 2.4. I still think that it's too high, but it's that they now occupy the low end of the market. If Nintendo went to $199, which again, I don't know how much their hardware components and their manufacturing costs, but if they could get to $199 with a slimmed down Switch, I think that would be amazing.
They absolutely can. I have no doubt that they can and they will. And I think that is the target because, to your earlier point, what good is. There's rumors of the redesign too, that it's not like the current one. I mean, maybe it's not like dramatic, but it's going to be like tightened up or whatever. That's where I almost believe maybe the controllers don't come off. It's going to be aggressive, in my opinion. That's the only way to be. That is a market that nobody else owns right now. The Switch owns it, and it's in jeopardy as new consoles are coming. So how can they make sure they go on the road, compete against phones, all the above? So get out, you know, a decent touchscreen, $199, etc. And I think
here's the only thing about here's why I don't think they would do the undetachable controllers feels a bit weird to me, because if you do decide to dock it, let's say they dock it as well, you decide to dock it later on, then you've got to, if the controllers don't come off, then you've got to go buy a pro controller or another set of Joy-Cons as well as the dock. So it would actually end up probably being more expensive to get it to where the regular Switch is now.
But then you got to buy $85 dock, an $80 controller.
But again, the 3DS was a perfectly viable. I mean, they made a fortune on the 3DS. If there are plenty of people that say, like, I don't particularly. I'd actually be fascinated to see what the stats are, if Nintendo have this kind of research of, like, of all the people that are playing the Switch, how much time is spent playing on the big screen docked and how much time is spent playing handheld. I'm sure Nintendo have done
that
research.
You got to wonder if there's data that they track, actually, because there's no reason you can put a tracker on
it. And
that
let's say, for example, that Nintendo had numbers, very, very well researched numbers that said, oh my God, 80% of the time that people spend playing the Switch, it's undocked. And you know what? They could even get this data. Let's not forget, you're always connected to Wi-Fi. They could be pulling that data. Switch knows if it's docked or not.
Or even if it's stored in a database and sent it when you do connect or whatever. So
let's say they had numbers that said, oh, okay, we now know that 85% of the time spent playing the Nintendo Switch is spent playing handheld only without a dock. We could make a lot of money getting rid of the dock, which not that many people are using. The dock is still there for people that want it, but for many people that want to get in and only want to play handheld, well, here's a cheaper version that maybe you jump on.
Yeah, I don't even think you need to rationalize that. It's like, that's the obvious way to get potential costs down. I don't think it costs much, but more than that, taking the rumble out, that's the rumor. Redesign. I think you're right on speculating that the controllers would still come off. It's a very good point. Like, now if you can dock it, what do you do? Right. You got to buy a controller. Maybe that's a bridge too far, but we shall see. Rumors of the enhanced version. Now, that's the one I want. We don't have too much time to talk about that because we got more stories. That's what I'm interested in. I want a more powerful,
like,
60 frames per second Breath of the Wild is what I say.
Would games all be the same? Would there be games now that only work on the enhanced Switch, or would all the games stay the same? You just get better
cross-compatibility.
It'd be like the One X, so some games are enhanced for it or not.
Exactly. Okay. I think it'd be like that. It gets closer to the world of PC. And, you know, when you play a game like Fortnite, telling people that, like, hey, it just looks better now.
Right.
Anything like that. And obviously for first party games, I mean, again, you could play Breath of the Wild at 60 frames at 1080p on the go as well. Now I'm down. So
how much do we really need that enhancement?
Them reasons for this is why I'm starting to get worried. They say, well, we're not sure about this modest upgrade. That doesn't excite me. That's
it doesn't.
The rumor
and the point I was going to make is the Switch is no slouch as is. It's a very impressive piece of hardware for what it is. I mean, it's running, you know, obviously it's never going to be as powerful as, I mean, I don't know, for example, like Mortal Kombat 11 looks like on the Switch compared to PlayStation and Xbox. I know it's going to be a bit of a downgrade.
I wouldn't say it's powerful in any way, but for the price point, it's alone in its own right. And I think that's what makes it special is you can buy, you know, a $500 phone as part of a plan, and phones have more processing power in a lot of ways, or tablets, and you get the idea. But 720p on the go is not bad. You know what I mean? When I'm a kind of a snob when it comes to the specs. So I'm not super impressed with the way that games run on a next-gen console that's in, you know, 2017 launch or whatever. But I was impressed with everything they packed into a $299 console.
It's
You know, but look, Xbox One S is $299. Just do the math. Wait, huge differential in price. Okay, that's the problem that I see. So anyway, let's move on to the next story. We can always come back around.
Okay.
Unless you have a final thought there.
No, just that, you know, I think I the more I think about it, I think it might be a smart move. You know, obviously the PS4 has the Pro, the Xbox has the X. I think if, you know, 2 years have passed, you know, technology gets better all the time. If Nintendo think that it's a smart move to release a new, as long as it's fully compatible with everything, and you don't create like a two-tiered system, which is you're following the model that the Pro and the X have done, which is to say, if you have an X, the games are going to look that much better. But no one's, you're not frozen out of anything if you don't have that. All the games still run; they just run a little bit better on the newer version. I think that would be great. I would probably jump on that.
Exactly. So I'm excited for the market, for the expanding of you know, bringing Switch to more places, but I want the enhanced or modest version. We'll see if that ever comes into play. Let's move on to our next story. Barrett Courtney.
Oh, I see Barrett sitting there. He's posting up
the
in the
boss
mic
baby's
here.
Barrett, did you read the Persona 5 Royale news today? Coming in 2020 with new characters and a third semester. Have you read this? Can you sum up what you've heard, or should I read the story first?
Go through the story, because I've just been reading a bunch of summaries on Twitter.
Yeah, let's sum up the story here, which also comes from Matt Perslow over at IGN. Gary and I haven't played Persona 5, right?
I played about 150 hours of Persona 5.
For some reason, beautiful.
I'm on Team Persona.
Yes. All right. Yeah, I've got some backup today. Everybody else can shame me in the comments, but these guys
are
good
to go. You
need
to get into Persona 5.
I would love to. It's the time. Let's not get into that right now.
It is a time sink.
The story. You just said over 100 hours. Okay. So the story goes, Persona 5 Royale, an expanded re-release of Persona 5, will launch later this year in Japan, right? So that's 2019 for the Japanese market, but the Western release is due in 2020. In fact, they put that in the little teaser, like 15-second teaser that they put up, a video.
I mean, localizing those games is not a small job, right? It's a huge deal.
We're going to talk about that. Hold that thought. So, the announcement was conducted in Japanese, but Twitter user Mystic, a reliable source of Persona news, has offered a translated series of tweets and details. It's just, I'm sure somebody's done a great job as well of translating by now, but you know, the news comes in hot in the morning, and this is where we were at when we pulled it in. This is what it says. This new version, announced by Atlus today, features a substantial set of new additions that expand on a variety of Persona 5's features. The most significant is a new semester of school to play through, which presumably will add a fair few more hours of the story to the game. Would love you guys' perspective in a moment. There is also a new addition to the Phantom Thieves gang, Kasumi Yoshizawa. Yeah, Kasumi Yoshizawa. She previously teased in the first Persona 5 Royal reveal. She was teased then and caused players to wonder if the game would add a playable female protagonist. So today's news suggests that this is not the case. She's a transfer student and appears to be a party member. Okay, so it also appears that there will be a human version of Morgana, the talking cat who accompanies Persona 5's protagonist. Screenshot shows a male character with a name that translates to handsome man, who uses the term Wagahai, which was previously used by Morgana in the original game. And the game also has been overhauled for PlayStation 4 Pro. That's a big deal. Upgraded a 4K resolution. I can't wait to see how that this style of gameplay translates. There's also UI enhancements and quality of life changes, including a new menu dedicated to confidence and stats. Atlus is going to reveal more about Royal on May 9th. And that's where we're at. So let's just go with Barrett real fast, and then, because Gary's on the show, we'll go.
First thought, I retweeted someone who had the best tweet of the screenshot of human Morgana that said, "I fucking hate that Morgana is hot. It's so weird.
What?
Morgana's a cat. He shouldn't be a hot dude."
Is a hot dude cat.
But isn't it established in Persona 5 that Morgana is in some way, for some reason, is a human in a cat's body, right?
Morgana doesn't know his origins, so he believes that he's a human that's stuck in this cat's body.
Right.
Because I know where you're at in the story. I don't want to say anything else besides that. And so the assumption is that he's a human. He's trying to get back to his human form. And so that's my first thought. The second thought is, holy shit, another semester.
A whole other semester.
Which is, it'll be interesting to see where they add that in the story, because I feel like the end of the base game seems to be pretty set of like where the end of the game is. So I don't know. They're, again, not to spoil too much for you, Gary, and everybody out there. The game's been out for Fran. 2 years, though.
No, don't even get me started on that BS. Been 2 years. I'm going to spoil every book.
You can never talk about it. You can never talk about it because you
don't forget. There's
it.
A whole universe.
We need to be in a safe place if we're going to talk.
Let's
spoilers.
Not forget
it's
there
not
may be
show.
A whole universe of Switch gamers out there that may be getting their version.
Exactly.
And haven't had a chance
exactly.
to play
so
it.
Again, don't worry
but
about
there
that.
Is some time jump in the game at okay. one point, so it might be filling in those gaps. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. The new character looks awesome. Like you see her whole like Phantom Thieves garb. As
Kevin,
well.
Can you pull stuff up on the show?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't
He's
know
so
this.
Comfortable.
I don't
go
know
to
this
go
game
to Polygon.
Yeah.
Just front page and right under the top okay. stories. Okay. One of the top ones is does Morgana finally become human? If you scroll into that, there's just a little photo, I believe. Yep, right there.
No, yeah, right there.
Right
yeah.
there.
All right, yeah.
And
yeah.
right below.
I hate it.
So wait, is that Morgana?
That's Morgana. Yeah.
So
Morgana.
Scroll down.
It's a cute kitty right there.
Scroll yep. down. Is this?
And that's human Morgana.
Yep.
Hot.
It's like okay. a hot dude.
Yeah.
It says. Ikumon? Ikumon? What does that mean? I don't know.
You either know how to read it or you don't. Don't pretend. Don't
I'm
front me.
I'm close,
don't
man.
Don't with me.
All right. Well, anyway, I don't know. I'm excited. Rusty. This seems cool. I'm definitely going to pick it up when it comes to America and to the West in 2020. I'm not surprised that that's a thing because that's the original release schedule for Persona 5 as well. Japan got it first. Everybody else got it second because of localization stuff. And even after all of the time of localization for Western settings, there's still some stuff that doesn't translate super well to Western settings in the Persona 5 base game. So I'm sure they want to be... Try to take care of that, and then I'm excited to see it in 4K. Even though like that game is so pretty that 1080 and 4K probably won't make a huge.
But wait, you're missing the benefit, Bear. Do you play games in 4K? You have 4K
I
TV.
I do.
You will, I think. I mean, you're right. It looks good already, but the beauty of it is the game has that illustrated appeal, yeah. and when you up-res that to 4K, that's when it
dope.
Really benefits.
Yeah, it'll pop.
I'll be
it'll
interested
look so
to see
clean.
If it like
text
if it has like HDR stuff in it as well, because that would be cool to like see like more colors pop without like the artistic design in there. Would be yeah. super cool.
It does. I mean, it sounds like a significant upgrade.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound just like a couple of bells and whistles, like a whole new semester, a whole new character. It feels like even so for me, it's perfect because we talked about this before the show. So I got to about 90% of the way through Persona, almost finished it, and for some reason I just drifted away from it. I think some other game came out and took my attention away from it.
Gotcha.
But like I said, I had about 150. I was obsessed with Persona 5. I love it so much. It
probably
really is.
Out there writing Oliver or something, you know.
Probably doing something else. But it was my favorite game of that year. I loved it to death. We talked about you just want to spend time in that world, the music and the graphical aesthetic. It's so much fun. It's so beautiful. Now that this is coming out, I think this is what I'm going to do: is wait for it to come out, start over from scratch, and play the deluxe version all the way through to the
See,
end. I'm all for it.
I don't have to redo it. I can just wait. So.
But you got to do it, though, because you cannot miss out. Persona 5
No, I've been wanting to play it forever. So this comes as very good news to me. Someone who wasn't able to do it, there's a bigger reason to go back play it. Play it in 4K.
Yep.
But also, Fran,
it's later.
You guys were talking about Switch earlier.
2020.
So there's another Persona 5 announcement coming tomorrow.
I wanted to ask, what is PS...
P5S.
So this is PS5R.
That's got to be the Switch version, right?
We don't know what it is. They're going to talk about it tomorrow, but we don't know if they're going to fully reveal what it is tomorrow. There's a couple of different...
It's 2 a.m. It's about 2 a.m. tomorrow in Japan.
Yes.
So it's tonight at 3 a.m.?
No, it'll be 3 a.m. for us tomorrow. It'll be...
So it's about its end of day in their time tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
So
I mean, what else can it be? I mean, don't you feel fairly confident
Persona
it's a Switch
Stadium,
version?
It could be a fighting game because Persona 4 had a fighting game.
That would suck.
That would suck. I mean, I've never played the fighting
you
game.
You already
so
got
I don't talk
Joker
about
and Smash, so we don't double tread on that one. So.
And then you got maybe Persona 5 Scarlet.
Well, we're a day away from that news. So let's wait for that.
I'm just saying. If you want to wait for this, cool, but there also might be a Switch version.
Sure,
so.
But it won't have these features very likely. But was the last important note, I think, was we've been speculating, you know, is Persona 5 exclusive? What's going on? Is Sony paying for this? Well, it appears, for the most part, exclusive content is being done between the two companies, or Atlas just really just favors first the PlayStation. But it seems like maybe there's a reason that they're
I've
sticking
gone
with
back
it.
And forth with a lot but, of people of like if there's exclusive deals between Atlas and Sony. And so, I think you're crazy if you don't think there's like
well
stuff on the back end.
There very well could be. I don't remember reading about this specifically. It could be background or just general how supportive they are. We see companies like that get buddy-buddy, for lack of a better way to put it, and they just stick with them. But there's a bigger reason.
But friend money.
By far, the PlayStation 4 has sold. By far, and especially in Japan. So if you're going to make a bet, why wouldn't you bet on that? Not that Switch isn't selling.
I could be wrong. Send it into your wrong if I'm wrong. But I feel like I read somewhere or I was talking to someone where like PlayStation also did help with like the either the funding of this game or something. Like they did help with back end stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's got to be some sort of deal where if they're letting Persona 5 come to another console like Switch, they get to have a better version like the Royal.
Right.
The
so Royal. We'll see tomorrow's update on Kind of Funny Games Daily. There I think we'll hear that. Gary, any last thoughts?
Just that I really do hope it does. I mean, I'm really excited about the Royal. I think, you know, for people like me that love the first game but want to, I'll happily do it all over again. I will definitely get the Royal. It's, you know, it's for people that haven't had a chance to experience it. Now's the time to jump in. And I really, really do hope it does come to the Switch because it's such a great game. You want as many people to have the chance to play it as possible. I think it's, and it's perfect for the Switch as well. It takes you back to Persona 4 Golden, right? I mean, if you think about it, Persona has a lot of handheld roots. Yep. So for it to be on the Switch makes perfect sense.
It does. Last thing I'll say before I jump off is we are recording the Persona 5 spoiler cast 2 years and 1 month late later today. So if you want to send in any questions about the game, if you're a big fan, and have any questions for myself, Joey Noel, Jonathan Dornbush, and Lucy James, we will be recording that later today.
The deadline is like moments, soon as you hear this.
2-3 p.m.
Right.
So
as soon as this video is up on YouTube,
Patreon.
Get those questions in if you got
Kind of Funny Games. I think there's a link if you want to send in questions. So there you go.
All right. Kevin, I'm thinking let's read through our sponsors first and I'll come back to the news. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, dude.
All right. Just a little heads up. We normally do it after the news, but I do want to make sure to get to our sponsors. We're already deep into the show.
Got to pay the bills.
You know, again, speculating on anything with new rumors, etc. It's easy to get deep into that. But I want to tell you a little bit about the sponsors that help make today's show possible. Let's start with Quip. The first sponsor is Quip. One of the most important things that we do for our health every day is brushing our teeth, yet most of us don't do it properly. Quip is the better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. Quip was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. People brush too hard, and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. A built-in 2-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides, helping guide a full and even clean. Up to 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes or even evenly. A multi-use cover mounts to your mirror and unmounts to slide over your bristles for on-the-go brushing, declutters your sink and cabinet, and makes traveling with an electric toothbrush easier. Quip doesn't require a clunky charger and runs for 3 months on one charge. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association and has thousands of verified 5-star reviews. That's why Greg, Nick, and Tim love the Quip and why they are backed. Why Quip is backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to quip.com/games right now, you get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack. Get Quip, GETQUIP.com/games. Our next sponsor is Experian. You know, the better your credit score, the easier it is to get stuff you want or less, the less you have to pay. So the question is, why is it so hard to raise your credit score? Now it won't be thanks to Experian. They've launched Experian Boost, a brand new way to instantly increase your credit scores for free. A higher credit score can help establish and get access to credit and preferred rates for things you want and need in life. Experian is on a mission to help boost America's credit score, which will help millions of people across the country build and get better access to credit. People all across America have already raised their credit scores with Experian Boost, and you should too. For the first time ever, paying your utilities and cell phone can instantly improve your credit score. Experian Boost works by giving you credit for the bills you're already paying through your bank, like water, gas, electric, cable, and cell phone. It used to take months to see your credit score rise a point or two. With Boost, you can increase your credit scores instantly. Boost is free to use and only available from Experian. Up until now, you've been paying for your utility and cell phone bills and not getting any credit for it. Well, now you can. Please talk of your own... That's a note of if the folks on the show have used Experian Boost. I think that's other folks. That was a host note. So... we can't believe, obviously, it's taken so long for somebody to do this. So what are you guys waiting for? Experian Boost can potentially help you establish or increase your access to credit. You can boost your FICO score instantly for free. Boost is only available at Experian.com/KFGames. That is Experian.com/KFGames. Our next sponsor is Brooklinen, no stranger and supporter of the show. You spend one third of your life in sheets, so it's about time for a bedding upgrade. We know Greg loves his Brooklinen sheets. He talks about them all the time on the show, and you see all of his Porty Instagram photos with Porty wrapped in those lovely sheets. Brooklinen sheets were named the best of online bedding in that category by Good Housekeeping. It was founded in early 2014 by husband and wife, Vicky and Rich Fulop. Their mission: make a five-star hotel-quality sheet more affordable and easy to order. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. Brooklinen is the fastest-growing bedding brand in the world. Over 30,000 five-star reviews. Sheets don't just feel great, but they look great too. You can mix and match over 20 colors and patterns. And Brooklinen sheets are just the best, most comfortable sheets. We hear Greg talk about it all the time. So it's time for your upgrade. Brooklinen.com is giving exclusive offers to our listeners. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. So again, that's a promo code GAMES, plural. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off your first order and the free shipping is to use that promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com with the promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever. All right. Let's get back to the news. That's right. Stamped and paid. Thank you to our sponsors for the sport, but we got more big news to go.
Yeah, what else you got?
There's so much of it. I'm realizing it's a good day for us, Gary.
Yeah, usually on Wednesday, I complained to Greg before that for some reason Maybe because it's the middle of the week.
It's slump day.
It's like it's a slumpy day, but today it looks like there's some good stories.
There's a lot. So you worked with Colin Campbell in the past.
Colin Campbell is a very old friend of mine. Yes.
We
worked together back in the UK in the Future Publishing days when I was at PC Gamer, and he worked on other titles there. And we came over to the United States roughly around the same time together and worked together on numerous magazines. And now Colin is a very well-regarded voice at Polygon.
Correct. Yeah, he worked for IGN for a spell and many places long in the past. I think it was remember FGN Online, Fastest Gaming News Online? I used to use that. It was basically like a Twitter feed.
Yeah, I used to be the editor of a magazine called Games Business. He and I used to host a podcast together called Game Theory. Colin is like an old school news hound.
Yes.
Like he'll get you the scoop.
And that is the perfect segue. So a scoop he has. He and the team have been talking to the Epic folks, supposedly off the record, that the Fortnite team is under intense pressure and the work hours are off the charts. Here's how the story goes. It's a longer story you can catch over at Polygon, again by Colin Campbell. So the story goes like this. The popularity of Fortnite has been transformed by Epic, obviously. Sorry, let me start that over. I've had a lot of caffeine because I was catching up on the Marvel movies.
I'm telling you, this is what happens when you do these shows early in the morning before you had a chance to really wake up.
Popularity of Fortnite has been transformed, as we all know, by Epic Games, but the game's explosive growth has led to months of intense crunch for Epic employees and contractors, some of whom say they felt extreme pressure to work for grueling hours to maintain Fortnite's success and profitability, which has resulted in a toxic, stressful environment at the company. In dozens of interviews conducted by Polygon, over a period of several months, current and former employees say they regularly worked in excess of 70-hour weeks, with some reporting 100-hour weeks. Contract staff in Epic's quality assurance and customer service department spoke of a stressful and hostile work environment in which working overtime, while officially voluntary, was an expected service to the company. Story goes on later, continuing, although contract staff was paid overtime, developers report this culture of fear in which they were expected to pull long hours as part of their job. Some reported suffering health issues after working consecutive months of 70-hour weeks. We're no stranger to these types of stories. Let me just a few more quotes and then get your opinion, Gary. Polygon interviewed current and former employees of Epic, including full-time staff, managers, and contractors working in development, QA, and customer service departments. QA is quality assurance, if you don't know. They all requested that their identities be protected for fear of retribution from Epic or other employees in the games industry. Epic requires that current and former staff sign non-disclosure agreements, limiting their ability to speak about the company's operations. Here's one quote from an employee. I work an average of 70 hours a week. There's probably at least 50 or even 100 other people at Epic working those hours. I know people who pull 100-hour weeks. The company gives us unlimited time off, but it's almost impossible to take time off. If I take time off, the workload falls on other people, and nobody wants to be that guy. The biggest problem is that we're patching all the time. The executives are focused on keeping Fortnite popular as long as possible, especially with all the new competition that's coming in. End quote. Representative for Epic conceded that workers had endured extreme working hours. Quote from that representative. People are working very hard on Fortnite and other Epic efforts, said a spokesperson in an email interview. Quote continues, extreme situations such as 100-hour work weeks are incredibly rare, and in those instances, we seek to immediately remedy them to avoid recurrence. The story continues. We just heard these stories about Anthem, work culture, and we've been in the industry a long time. We've heard this a lot. What do you think is going on?
Is it accurate
for starters?
I mean, who knows? I mean, if it comes from Colin's a very trusted source. Like I said, he's an old fashioned news reporter. You know, he's
not just gonna like go on thin rumors.
No. There's no way that Kotaku would have published a story of this magnitude if they didn't have it. Sorry, Polygon wouldn't have. It was Kotaku who did the Anthem story.
That's why I got it mixed up.
There's no way that Polygon would have published this if this story would have been vetted. It would have been through their legal department. You know, they're not going to publish something because you get this wrong, you expose yourself to legal exposure. So I believe the story. And stories like this, this particular story is obviously a huge one because it combines two things that are very big right now. One is these kind of human interest crunch stories. The Jason Schreier's Anthem story was a huge deal, and doubly so, and rightly so. We should be shining a light. The Anthem story shone a light, as has been done many times in the past, on the human cost of making these mega games, which is crunch, which is 100-hour weeks, which is basically...
Yeah, a game comes out and we just pan it and say, I didn't like it. What a waste of my money and time. Well, what about the other side? The people who...
The family, you don't see your family, you know, you don't have a life, you know, all you do is and people burn out. There's a real physical, physiological, psychological, emotional cost to working this hard on anything.
Yeah.
Especially something which is so public. You know, the idea that you're going like this, going, oh my God, I'm killing myself. And then over on this screen, you've got like a Twitter feed or a community board of people going, ah, fuck you guys, this isn't good enough. Yeah. Like, how do you get out of bed in the morning? Like, it must take such a toll. This obviously is a particularly big story because, again, you're combining all of that human interest stuff, which is very much in the under the microscope right now, with Fortnite, which is, you know, the biggest game out there, essentially. Yeah. So this is a huge, huge story. I think it's an amazing scoop that Colin has got. The question is, just think about this for a second. We talked about 70 to 100-hour weeks. People that work a 9-to-5 job, that's a 40-hour week. Yeah. Now imagine
12
working,
hours a day.
Now imagine working double that.
Yeah, and think about easier way to put it.
So let's say, for example, you said it's like somewhere between 70 and 100. Let's say, for example, 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
Imagine working double the hours that you do in your 9-to-5 job. You're barely sleeping. You're barely seeing your family. You're working weekends. You have no life at all. And that's got to be a cost, not just for you, but your friends and family, your loved ones. Like, this has a massive ripple effect.
I think it's like 6 days a week, 14 hours a day kind of thing. I mean, that's insane, right?
And I think it's a particular...
100 is really insane.
It's insane. I mean, you're basically... You've got a sleeping bag in the office at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad it is. I mean, you know...
100 is no joke.
How many hours are there even in a week? Like, not many more than 100.
Yeah.
So, like, you're not going anywhere. I think that it's a particular problem. It's not just a big story because it's Fortnite, but it's a particular problem because it's Fortnite. Because, look, Fortnite is the billion dollar baby, right? It's they hit on something huge and they're making a fortune. Tim Sweeney is worth something like $7 billion personally now.
Yeah.
It made him a billionaire many times over. Yeah. There's a huge, huge amount of money in Fortnite. At the same time, you've got Apex Legends and other competitors nipping at your heels. Nobody knows how long Fortnite's going to be number one, how long it's going to be this money printing machine.
Investors are counting on you to grow,
a huge amount of pressure, both from the investors, both from the company, and also from the player base. Again, if the game starts to slip even a little, people will just go somewhere else. There's no loyalty. People will go to Apex Legends or whatever the next thing is that comes out in a couple of months.
Of course.
And so they've stumbled onto this thing that makes them a huge amount of money, and they're terribly worried that if they don't keep up the pace, keep up the momentum, that $1 billion gravy train is going to come to an end. So the pressure is huge.
Yeah, the two things that stood out to me in this story, actually backing up, agree with you. The fact that it's a story on Fortnite, the world's biggest game, is where Colin did an awesome job in the team over at Polygon. Anthem is absolutely one thing, and that was a big story. Come on the heels of that and take the biggest game and highlight this again. There's talk of workers unionizing, and there's groups out there trying to get that to happen so things like this don't happen. But the things that stick out in the story to me are, number one, what we hear in a lot of office culture. You're probably sitting at work right now, or you came home from work, or thinking about going in, and you're like, it's just the culture. I don't want to let my team down. My bosses didn't say I had to stay, but like, how can I get away from the email keeps piling in? So unfortunately, I've worked full time for many years, and it just happens sometimes, and especially in this industry, it's just very common to work a lot. So that's the problem. And unless you make it, and I said this about Anthem, it's not just, you can't elect one person for work culture and, hey guys, it's Tequila Friday in the break room. And that doesn't do enough. You literally need to break into these people's work lives and address it. You can't allow them to face the fear and the pressure of saying, I know I have unlimited time off. That's what it says. They get paid for overtime, more money, unlimited time off. It's your choice. Well, guess what? They forcibly, as I've seen and experienced with, I've hired probably 100 people in my time, you have to actually step into their lives and make it stop and be willing as an executive to say, here's how we're going to make it stop. It's very difficult. And the last note I want to make there, Tim Sweeney has been pretty excellent lately of being outspoken, not fearful of apparently investors, et cetera. I hope we get to hear from Tim, and can he truly, as someone who's built this company, you know, from the ground up, like, can he step in and help make a difference?
Well, I think you make a couple of very, very good points. One is, it's interesting that note that you mentioned in the in the story there about how Epic allows people to have unlimited time off, but the employees are putting the onus on themselves. Like, how can you, if everyone else is crunching, how can you be the one guy that says, okay guys, I'm off for a week? Like, you'd come back feeling ashamed.
Nobody wants to be the guy that lets
the side down. Epic kind of gets to get away with it, but say, hey, no one's forcing you to stay, but they know that no one's going to step away from their desk when all their colleagues are working so hard. So that's a little bit sneaky.
But here's what I think, Kevin,
isn't that like kind of like the office mentality? Like, I've multiple times worked very, like, we don't clock our hours, but like
a lot. You work a lot.
I've had issues where like the computer broke the first day of E3 streaming.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Like, I was here for a full 24 hours trying to solve it. And it was like, no one was like making me, and like,
You do what you got to do because you're a team player. Comes a point when the work is so you just said that was an isolated case. Now imagine it's like that every day of the week.
That's a true emergency.
Yeah. Because imagine it's emergency every day of the week.
I don't have to imagine it. Like, that's, Paula has worked at ILM before, and
the cultures that build up, right? It happens.
It's certain jobs, I feel like you go in knowing, hey, there's this thing that exists called crunch time. And when it comes around, like, we talk about it and prepare. And, well, some, like, she's has worked not 100-hour weeks, but very close to that. And it's just, I don't know. I think that, like, she chose to do that job, and she knew and was aware that that's what she, signed up for.
But here's the problem, though. People often even though no one's forcing them, it's their own voluntary choice, they will sometimes work themselves into an early grave. Yeah. And so here's the point I want. Here's the point I want
to
raise.
Shouldn't the onus be on the person to be like, I can't do this. I'm pushing myself.
Yes,
too hard.
But nobody wants to be the person that feels like they're letting the side down, or they're the first to crack or whatever. So here's how I think you might be able to. Here's my wacky solution for how you might be able to get around that. And this is not necessarily just for video games, but let's start there. Like, look at big places like BioWare at Epic, where teams are crunching and there are issues of, are people working themselves too hard, and it starts to become counterproductive, and there's a human toll. Here's one idea. What if big companies had a dedicated person or a dedicated department, or even if it was just one person, that was like the employee well-being czar, and it was their job to make sure that employees are not fucking killing themselves. I don't just mean like an HR person. I mean someone that actually monitors employee health and mental health, and anyone can come in and talk about how they're doing, and there's no recriminations, no blowback, no one's going to get up to upper management. People can talk freely to that department about how they're feeling. And actually, I think even sometimes like more proactive intervention, like even just from monitoring the team, even if no one, because sometimes people don't want to come in and complain or be the squeaky wheel, they just get on with it until the next thing you know they're dead at their fucking desk. So I would like to see a situation where, like, as the quote unquote well-being czar, you might bring someone into your office and say, we've been watching you for the last couple of weeks, you're fucking killing yourself, here, you take the next week off, and it's not optional, you are not welcome here in the office for the next week, go and fucking rest for a week and come back. I think there needs to be more proactive intervention, because employees aren't going to police it themselves.
So interesting. I think these things do exist in some ways. Now, the power they have or how it's dealt with, I think
it's something that falls under the general auspices of HR, but I think there should be a more specific focus on it.
It tends to be a powerless affair, and like, how do you really implement yourself? Because, like, I can tell you in HR, you're not going to undercut an executive team by mandating that somebody takes time off. So I have some thoughts on that. First of all, I will say, and back to Kevin's point, you become a victim of yourself because of the culture, you become a victim of yourself. And that is what becomes interesting. You run into this loop where it's like, I'm tired and overworking myself, but that's just the culture here. And everybody starts doing it. So yeah, you need a solution, but I would say it starts with each team's managers and managers of managers. You have to have a culture just within itself that people can speak up and be like, that's it, guys. Like, we're not going to patch next week or whatever it is. And that's my suggestion to Epic, to take this seriously before it gets out of hand. I know in the industry it's common, but the May 30 or whenever Memorial Day is, end of the month, it's coming up, but just take a week off patching, and whatever you need to do, lose the money, you can afford it, and like, truly mandate, start with that to set the tone and say, look, we're going to take a hit. And I know I can't even stop some people from getting out of the office, so everybody's out, you're out this week, shut, I mean, servers are running and it's not totally realistic, but you get my point. And then beyond that, folks of Tim Sweeney's level, executive level, need to be able to step in and say, hey, you're going home, and we're not patching this week and this week. And you got to take a step back occasionally.
No, I agree. That's what I mean about kind of more proactive intervention, whether it's on a case by case or a wholesale basis. Norris, they need to do more like that. Otherwise, the cycle is never going to end. Again, I think the reason why that's less likely to happen at a game like Fortnite is the same reason why streamers really work, you know, stream themselves into kind of mental health problems, because they worry that if they don't stream 24/7, if they take a day off, they'll just the audience will go to someone else's channel, and maybe they'll never come back. So yeah, we have real issues of health and well-being in the streamer community, because people feel like they can never take their foot off the gas.
Somebody needs to do something. Kevin?
I was just going to say, right now you're exhausted because you've stayed up to watch Endgame.
It's true.
And that's just example of you pushing yourself.
And I streamed yesterday, yeah.
And how many times have you stayed up streaming extremely late? It's just one of those things where it's like
you become a victim of the culture. The reason I'm doing it, you know, when I had a full-time job and it wasn't my full-time job, it was a creative outlet because I didn't have time for it. So that's what it's the reason that I left IGN. It's like, how do I find this balance? By the way, it's super hard. How do you monitor yourself creatively? And so it's a much longer discussion, but I just think the point is, I'm glad that it's happening on the level of Fortnite, but we do need to see things happen. I mean, unionization, you know, happens and things can get more grave. I mean, if you get unionization and developers step out, I mean, we're talking.
We desperately need unionization. It's, yeah. It's a whole other discussion, but my personal belief as a member of a union, of a creative workers union, I desperately believe that we need unionization in the game industry. In the meantime, I would ask the question, I understand why it's not possible at somewhere like BioWare or EA, where the purse strings are very tightly held, but at somewhere like Epic, where they're making so much money, they don't even know what to do with it. Can't you to some extent just throw money at the problem? I know it's not going to completely ameliorate it, but hire more people. Spend some of the huge amounts of money that you're making.
You know that's not easy, Garrett, because if I just say, dude, like you're working overtime on your script, your stream, blah, 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 just hire more people. Right. It doesn't work that way. You now have to read everything they do. Hiring teams that you can trust in and training them takes years sometimes and so on.
You have like three stories after this.
I know. I'll move quick. How tight are we today?
I mean, it's, you know.
You told me I could go over sometime, but yeah, I know. We're moving on.
Over.
All right, let's move on.
No, I know. By the way, I was checking to see when his sweat. I already read the ad.
We're 50. I can see
when he was like, guys,
minutes.
Like, we got to go. So let's go back to this topic. I think it'd be a great discussion for Gamescast or otherwise. So let's get into another time. Very fast note, if you haven't, check on Twitter for the latest Fortnite teaser. It is one of my favorite skins, the legendary skin, the Raptor. It's the dude with the shovel, and he's got Iron Man, Tony Stark jets on his hands.
Big
it looks
Marvel
like he's
event coming up, right?
That's tomorrow. We're just going to find out what it is, but it looks like you might be able to hover around or do things like that and play as that character. Maybe you get to be Iron Man, fly around as one character.
Oh my God, I don't know.
What if that's one of the powers? Thanos last year, one person got to be it. It was a game mode. So I think we're going to see a limited time game mode. I guess we'll find out. Another just story I wanted to mention. We've been talking about it a lot on the show. Our NPD sales are finally in. There's been discussion of how did Anthem do this year? What about Division? Is it selling well? Well, as it turns out, Division was number one on the list. For March 2019, and that was just topping Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. We don't know the exact numbers, but that was a big deal for Division 2. So it's interesting to see that it's selling well. Hopefully it's playing well. We play a lot of it.
As someone who plays a lot, I'm glad to hear that it's selling well, because the more it sells, the more they'll continue to support it.
Exactly. One important note, though, is that NPD does just track physical sales, and it does get digital data from publishers, but not every company participates, so you never really know. Maybe, you know, give or take, Sekiro could have outsold. But either way, it's way up there. It's not small. Number 11 on the list was actually Anthem. So that was interesting. It almost made the top 10 in terms of sales. So it's definitely not a total bomb from a sales standpoint. And there's a lot more data in here. Check it out. Quarter one top 10, Kingdom Hearts 3 in Division 2. And Anthem was number 3 on the first quarter top 10. And as well, if you count March 2018 to this year, Red Dead Redemption, of course. But Black Ops 4, NBA 2K19, Smash Brothers Ultimate. That's the last, you know, 365
days. Yeah, I saw a little note on Smash Brothers Ultimate today that said it's actually now the third best seller Switch title after Breath of the Wild and Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, it's funny that the sales numbers and the reports change sometimes, but it's like huge seller. Mario Kart is just a monster, but those are all selling very well. But importantly, spending on hardware has dropped 15% compared to March 2018, which is about 282, I believe, million. And for the first quarter, it's down 13% to $759 million. So we know that end of hardware life cycle, that's when we start to see the cues for, you know, where's PlayStation 5? Where's Xbox
2 or whatever they're going to call it this time?
Or
yeah.
The Xbox, the Facebook, whatever it is. So it'll be interesting to see. So those are some top sales. I want to let everybody know that as far away as Xbox, whatever it is so far away, Gary. Where would I go to find out what is the line? I'm totally off today. Where would I go to find out what is in the mom and grop shops today?
The official list of, you'd think I would have this off book
Me
by
too.
Now.
I screwed
the
up
official
guys.
List of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
That's right. A lot of caffeine, not enough sleep. Oh.
Were you up late watching Ant-Man or something? Is that the
name? Right. Sorry, there's a jingle in there too. I do apologize, folks. I'm hopped up on caffeine. It's a lot of exciting news, and I'm trying to catch up on Marvel. And I have one more movie to go, Captain Marvel, today. in theaters.
Yeah, I got caught up yesterday. We had Ant-Man and Captain Marvel. Right, we behind it. We finally got caught up.
Thursday night, Kev, we're all going. Okay, out today. Unknown Fate on Xbox One, SteamWorld Quest, Hand of Gilgamesh on Switch. The next few are on Switch. Agilos, Deponia, Theater Tales. Coming to PC is Dia Crisis. Time Loop Fighters on PC. Kid Baby, Star Child on PC. And Funny Bunny Adventures on PC and Mac. All right, let's take one reader mail in here. I think we already extensively talk about the work culture stuff. So let's see. Let's go with the question from... I'm in trouble deciding. Let's take the question from Blake on a different topic. So Blake says, hey, Fran and Gary, early in the week, Greg and Andrea mentioned Crystal Dynamics' Avengers game and questioned whether it'd be connected to the MCU or not at all. It's a shame I don't watch live and couldn't You're Wrong them, since I know that the game will instead be connected to Marvel's Gameverse, which is a separate from MCU. In fact, Marvel's Spider-Man has recently begun its comic tie-in, City at War. Therein lies my question. What are your thoughts on video game comics, whether that be adaptation or supplemental? Personally, I've enjoyed the God of War, Division, Bloodborne, and Turok comics because they tell unique stories in worlds I love. City at War is less exciting, in my opinion, since it adapts the game's story, but is still fun to read. Speaking of comics, I'm loving Oliver, Gary. Great job.
You.
Issue number 3 was awesome in all caps, and I can't wait for issue 4 next month.
Glad you're enjoying it.
Thoughts
Thank you.
On comics and video games?
I don't. I read comics, but I don't tend to read video game spin-off comics. It's rare for me to encounter a video game that I'm so into the lore that I'll go away and read the novels and the comics and all the spin-off stuff. Usually I feel like, you know, hopefully that stuff should be baked into the game experience itself. It's nice that there's other stuff out there for people that really, really want to drown in the mythology, but that's not my cup of tea. I do think he raises an interesting point as well about how, like, the Marvel video games are kind of like the Spider-Man PS4 game, which I loved, was an interesting, like, what it wasn't MCU, because obviously that Peter Parker is a different Peter Parker from the MCU, but they have the Avengers Tower, they have a bunch of stuff that kind of feels like it is in the MCU. It's MCU in tone. It kind of is and it isn't. I guess I like the fact that the video games have the opportunity to chart their own course, but I would also like to see video games that are canonically compatible with the MCU. I don't see why the MCU could not expand out into the video game space.
Yeah, and I think it was like a general question. You know, what did you just think of comic, you know, video game comics? I don't get to keep up with comics, but I think it's great. I mean, I think the more expansion that you can do in a universe is great. And we've seen that even in Destiny, which is something I love. I know the fans love it, but it does have to be done well.
Yeah, and the novelizations are out there too. There's a God of War novelization. There's a spin-off Division novel that's out there right now. Again, for people that are like really, really, really into the lore, it's great that they can go find extra stuff outside of the games to really immerse themselves in.
Exactly. Okay, well, let's move on to You're Wrong. Make sure that we didn't screw anything up. The first thing is, I didn't realize that required reading yesterday was discussed around the Fortnite story. That was like, I think, a quick mention, and maybe it was even in depth, though. We took it in depth today, though, so thanks for the doubling down on it with us. It is an important topic, so thanks for pointing that out. Ill Grill Chill says, a week has 168 hours. See, if you only have 68 for sleep and eating and everything else, it's just not much. You can do the math that whatever, it's only a small percentage of time.
Yeah, the vast majority of your waking hours, you're not doing anything but working. And there's no way that that's healthy. And there's no way that ultimately, it's not just bad for human beings, but it's ultimately bad for the product. You're not going to be doing your best work.
Yep. Kebab says, at Way to Digital, we had someone similar to Gary's crunch consultant role who looked after employee mental health.
I like that.
Just a note, but that I do think is great. And let's see, what else did we miss in here? I think we said Royale. That was probably my bad. So thank you, Yoder. It is Persona 5 Royal
not Royale.
With cheese. That's my bad.
You did miss the squad up too.
Yes. Let me get back to that in just a second.
Don't you do squad up? Do we do squat up before You're Wrong?
You normally do, yeah.
Okay.
But I'm trying to accelerate and make sure that I knew this was going to take a little
just
bit of time.
Just cut the fat, dude.
Let's see. Lord of Pwn says the Nintendo Switch dock MSRP is $89.99, but it is frequently on sale.
Right,
so
right.
I think it actually
went up. It's a piece of plastic. There's no way that's what it costs. It costs anything like that.
I think you're right about that. What else did we maybe miss in here? Memorial Day is Monday, May 27th from Ill Grill Chill. Thank you very much. And... There was a lot of notes today, but I'm trying to find out if...
Get the good ones, dude.
If there's... Yeah, I know. You got to read like 50 entries.
You got it, man. I'm proud of you.
Owl of Party makes a really interesting note. I said, oh, like, do you have to play handheld mode? Super Mario Party does not support handheld mode and requires the Joy-Cons to be removed.
Ah, so
there you go.
Okay, so there are some games, major
great
titles.
Great note, Owl of Party, yeah. So okay. It seems very unlikely that you would see them not sell Mario Party on that, you know, platform, or maybe they would have to adapt.
And then they don't want the confusion of people buying games.
I think
they don't want to have to play it, put a sticker on the thing that says like not compatible with the Switch Slim or whatever.
Thank you to Axel360 on sales number as of September 30th. I don't know what the source was, but says that allegedly the 2DS had sold 9.68 million units. So, I mean, not a lot compared to, you know, 50, 60, 70 million type things. So, okay, let's get back to the squad up. Thank you for getting your squad ups in. I will tell you, doing Kind of Funny Games Daily quite a bit. There's usually not a lot of them. So if you want to play games with other people, where do they head, Kevin?
Oh, you got me, buddy boy.
You can actually just write it in with, it's the same as the reader mail. So submit it as part of that. And if you're a Patreon member as well, you can get your questions in on the show. So today's squad up is on the Xbox One, and it comes from Robert Mims. That's
wow, we usually don't see, almost always PlayStation. That's, you know, that's
fellow
that's down to Greggy.
That is.
That's Greggy.
Gary's here
to
represent.
That's Greggy with his PS bias.
Robert Mims. That is R-O-B-E-R-T-M-I-M-M-S. Says, hello, Fran and Gary. Hope you're both well. I just got an Xbox One S bundled with Division 2 as a birthday gift yesterday, and I'm in dire need of agents and best friends to play the Division and or Master Chief Collection, Gears, Crackdown, etc. Any and all are welcome. Robert Mims with 2M in Mims. It's been a packed show.
That's his game attack, just Robert Mims?
Just Robert Mims. That's it. So that's it for this today's show, unless I missed anything, Gary or Kevin.
No, I mean, we need to get out, right? We need to get out of here, yeah.
No, let's riff for a while. Kevin,
you
what do you think?
You nailed it. I'm proud of you.
Exactly. No,
also,
it's been
Gary's a hippie, you know?
An awesome show today. Really good discussion. I hope to be back here with Gary soon.
Always a pleasure.
Best friends, as always. It's been awesome. And Gary, even more so in person. It has been a pleasure. We'll see you all next time.